I marvel at how modern this old-fashioned book is. And we were taught this, and I believe it, and I've proven it, that I think in this book, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, everything we face in this life, everything we go through in this life, is addressed either in precept or principle. Somewhere we can find something. And when you consider the way the world was 2,000 years ago compared to the way it is now, technological advances, all these things, it still fits. And so I'm kind of excited about what God showed me in these passages that is so applicable for today. Really applicable in this church. I can't think of hardly anyone that's been, maybe a couple, but that's been married for 20 years that hasn't gone through some of what we're going to talk about here today in some way, shape, or form. And if you haven't and you've been married for 3 years, well, you might have to tuck this message away because you might need it someday. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word, for its application, how it fits. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in all truth. And Lord, it would suit me fine if you returned before I was done preaching. And we'd rid these sinful bodies and this sinful world, and we'd ever be with the Lord. But if not, help us to stand, having done all to stand. Minister to our hearts. Help those that need it. Speak in, to every individual in the language that they need it, where they're at. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. That's where the Jews are at, because the Jews sought to kill him. And you've heard this a bunch, but it bears repeating. Light received begets more light. Light rejected turns the lights out. Jesus Christ is not going to force himself on you forever, lost or saved. He will only plead for so long, and parents, we can learn something from this. He will only pursue for so long. He will only send prophets and preachers and sometimes parents to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering for so long. But if you reject and reject and reject, eventually the lights are going to go out. And as my mother used to say, you want to go? Go. That used to scare me. I want this. I want this. I don't think this is a good idea. I want this. I want this. I don't think this is a good idea. Okay, go ahead. Well, maybe I don't want it after all. You want a reprobate mind? Is that what you want? No, sir. But you'll get it. And he will give you up. Now, let me clarify first. And you can believe what you want, and I'll still buy you breakfast because you're wrong. There's a teaching out there that says, oh, if you're turned over to a reprobate mind, you can never be saved. You can never. That's baloney. You can always return. You can always change your mind. But I'm telling you what, you push that thing and push that thing and push that thing, he'll give you over to reprobate mind to do those things that you want to do. And you know what it said? I was dealing with a sodomite on the street one time, and I always try to be nice. I'm not railing on him, man. And I just stood up. It was before the parade started. I stood up and I read Romans chapter 1, and I said, I read the part that says, to do those things which are not convenient. And you know it's not convenient. And this sodomite kid came up to me and goes, can I see where it says that? And he more or less said, yeah, I guess it does say that. And it's true. You want the religion of the heathen? That's what Israel wanted. You want to go after Baal? You want to go after Ashtaroth? All you want. Read Kings. Read Judges. Read the Chronicles. You know what he said? If that's what you want, let them come and take you captive. You can have all you want. Read history. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You know what? He said, I'm not going to walk over there. But here's the good news. I'll go walk where they want it. I'll go walk where they give me an ear. I'll go walk where they listen. I'll find somebody that will give an ear. So parents and leaders, take a lesson. If someone in your family or someone in your church or someone in your ministry or someone in your circle of friends doesn't want it, and they repeatedly after and always err on the side of pulling and pleading and reproving and rebuking and exhorting more. Always, if you're going to err, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater right off the bat. But don't spend all your time and effort on them, because the good ones are then left to rot. I've talked to young people who said, man, I wish I got as much attention as my wayward sibling did. You say, well, they need special attention. I understand that. But the model of Jesus Christ was the inner three, intimate with those three. Then the 12, then the 70, then the 120. And most churches get it all messed up. They don't follow the model, and the pastor spends all the time with the 120. And he's got a side job, and he's cleaning the toilets, and he's painting the building. And as my preacher used to say, and then the volunteers that hired him to be their boss fire him because he's not bringing enough people in. Trying to fix people that don't want to be fixed, chase people that don't want to be chased, save people that don't want to be saved, while the fixable stagnate and rot. He said, you know what? I'm not going to walk among Jewry. I'm going to go where somebody will listen. Verse 2. Now the Jews' feast, and we might have hit this earlier in John, of the tabernacles was at hand. Isn't that something? Because the Bible, these feasts were called the feasts unto the Lord. And here it's called the Jews' feast. And it just caused me to wonder how many things we do in the name of God. Like, I mean, after all, if we put God's name on it, he's got to be in it. Isn't that right? No, that's absolutely wrong. Somebody sent me this thing this week because they were advertising this is the latest. I don't know what it was called, a Bible convention where churches that used to believe the authorized version of the Bible, now they're going to straighten God out. And you know why that is? And somebody sent me this. Number one, change the music. Number two, change the dress. Number three, change the Bible. Number four, throw everyone out that doesn't believe in number one, two, and three. Because when you change that music, and you change that dress, and you change what is acceptable, you have to change the Bible eventually. It doesn't add up. The Jews' feast. Well, we're worshiping Jesus. You sure? Someone sent me this on a national scale. You know, something came out this week. I tell you, I'm a news junkie. I thought to myself this week that the FBI, a leaker let out the FBI, naming the people that partake of the Roman Catholic Latin Mass as extremists. And this leaker said, quote, and the Baptists are next. You know why? Because you don't believe in all the alphabet stuff. In America, the FBI You know, the first thought that came to my mind, and I'm old. I'm not spiritual. I'm not martyr material, believe me. And if you're young, I don't blame you for not thinking this, but I've had more health issues in the last year. I thought the first thought that came to my mind, I'd rather die for Jesus than of cancer. Really, if they told you had a year either way, let me die for Jesus. Just not too much pain. On a national scale, someone sent me this. First we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, then we persecute all those who still call it evil. They will kill you thinking they do God's service. We're doing this for God and you're doing it for the devil. Brings us to verse 3. His brethren? Uh-oh. There's a doctrine that is called the perpetual virginity of Mary. That Jesus was virgin born and she was a virgin for the rest of her married life. That says his brethren. Now let's keep your thing here. Let's go over to Matthew 13:55. I fell off the chair the first time I read this 36 years ago. Matthew 13:55. Is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? Man, when you came up in a church that believed Mary was a perpetual virgin and never had marital relationships, this was show-stopping. And I quick looked it up in my reference that in the original Greek, that means cousin. Well, I am no Greek. I mean, two eggs over easy, home fries at the Olympia restaurant is about as close as I get. But I did take 4 semesters of Greek. And let me give you a little tip. If there was the original, and there's no such thing as the original, you couldn't put your hands on it. In the original Greek, cousin means cousin, and brother means brother. That's your Greek lesson for the day. But see, when you reject the commandment of God, Jesus speaking, that you might keep your own tradition, you get all messed up when you depart from the Bible. You try to help God out. You try to be more spiritual than God. And the next thing you know, you take a sinful man and put him on a throne as a replacement for Jesus Christ on earth, thinking that you're building the kingdom of God. And when you equate what he says with Bible truth, ex cathedra, when he sits on there in a certain state and he proclaims truth, this is truth, and we can equate that with the Word of God. And guess what we take if it contradicts the Word of God? Like a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for how can a man rule the church of God when he can't rule his own family? Does that make common sense or what? And by the time it's over, you have a perverted view. Why would they make that? Because you pervert the view of God's marital relationship that he designed. Well, Holy Mary, Mother of God, she couldn't have possibly have relations with her husband. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the marriage bed's undefiled. But when you throw out the Bible, you get skewed, and it's never towards truth. It's always away from truth. So then they take it further and say, well, so she was a perpetual virgin. And you know what? They made an assumption, and I think it was 1960 somewhere, the assumption, it's a doctrine, that she physically, bodily, like Jesus Christ did, ascended into heaven. And she sits as mediatrix. And by the time it's said and done, they take their spiritual leaders and say, we forbid you to marry. Because we're going to help God out. And if you don't have to pay attention, which the Bible says, if you don't have to pay attention, you can pay pure attention. Yes, but that's not what the Bible teaches about bishops and spiritual leaders. So a little bit of perverted truth ends up with a perverted system. Frankly, and I'm saying this heartbroken, with a bunch of perverts. Many, not all, many. I said all that to say this. You can't do better than the Bible. When the Bible disagrees with what you're thinking, go with the Bible. When your mother disagrees with the Bible, your mother is wrong. I want to bring a message this morning, growing up with Jesus. Jesus had brothers and sisters. How'd you like to grow up in that house? You think your sister trying to live for God annoys you? Could you imagine Jesus being your brother? You think it's hard to live with your goody-two-shoes brother the way you see him, that believes the Bible, believes the preacher, believes mom and dad? How'd you like to grow up with Jesus in the house? So I started out saying, this Bible's amazing. You know what this is for today? This is for you, brothers or sisters, siblings, trying to follow Jesus Christ in spite of having siblings that aren't. And we could extend that to parents and such. Number one, expect, don't be surprised with opposition from your own siblings. Let's read the text. Verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Catch it now, watch. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is already. The world, this is the meek, mild manner, seeker-friendly Jesus. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. That Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Unfortunately, it doesn't always stop at the front door of our homes, and it certainly doesn't stop at the front door of the church. And when it's under one of those roofs, it hurts more. Now, look what they said. Verse 3, depart hence and go up into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works thou doest. For no man doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Isn't it funny how the unsaved, or the unspiritual, or the wayward, know everything that you ought to be doing? In all matters of faith and practice, they know how wrong mom and dad are. They know how wrong the parents are. They know how wrong the friends are. They know how wrong the brothers are. They know everything. I talked about this thing this guy sent me, this conference that they're having. We're gonna show you that the King James Bible is not the Word of God. You imagine having a conference on that? We went away. What did you gain? We know the Bible's not true. And I'll tell you what they're going to say. And you that believe it are stupid. Look at verse 3 again. Depart hence, go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Well, that's kind of dumb. The disciples just saw what he did. See, they're messed up in the mind, and they're trying to, we're going to correct the Son of God. Verse 4, for there is no man that doeth anything. We have met the spiritual advisors to Jesus Christ. And suddenly they're going to straighten him out. And man, I've seen it for 36 years. Come to an age, and I'm going to straighten out mom and dad, and I'm going to straighten out the Bible, and I'm going to straighten out the preacher, and I'm going to straighten out my siblings that are trying to follow God. And all of a sudden they are expert in what you should be doing. These are unbelievers. Worldlings, he said it, the world cannot hate you, that grew up in the same house as Jesus Christ. They say, you got it wrong, bro. Nobody does it that way. Did you hear that? Nobody does it that way. The world doesn't do it that way, and Jesus Christ picked right up on it and said, the world can't hate you. You want me to do it the world's way. You don't want me to do it the Father's way. My time's not yet come. I'm on a schedule. I'm trying to follow God. Well, nobody does it like that. Ain't this Bible something? And what are they contending about? They're not arguing the existence of God. They're not arguing the law. They're arguing the incidental matters of faith and practice, administration. It just drives them crazy that Jesus is doing it a different way than they are. We think this is the way you should do it. You know, they do that today. Who said podcasts aren't in the Bible? And blogs and pages and sites. You shouldn't be doing it that way. But here's the question for you that are growing up with unbelieving brethren, unbelieving children, worldlings. How did Jesus respond? Verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Why? Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. You know, he responded firm, factually. Don't miss this. And in private. Firm, factually, and in private. Now, of course, God made it public for us to read the discourse forevermore. But today it seems like the worldlings or the unbelievers that grew up in Jesus' house, it's the same scenario, but the discourse has gone public. In the Colosseum of social media, I call it the Haters Club. free subscriptions. It's a shame it even has to be brought up, but it has to be brought up. Young people have asked me, how do I respond to my brother, my sister, my friend, my child, my childhood friend? How do I respond when they are publicly doing a John 7? You're doing it wrong! I'll tell you how you respond. Factually, unapologetically, with truth, in private. Not put it out for your lost relatives to see our conflicts. See? They can't even agree. Do I respond in kind? Now listen. We're not talking about the existence of God. We're not talking about free salvation. We're not talking about the rapture, the second coming. We're talking about how we believe we should do stuff. How we should live. What holiness looks like with shoes on. What separation looks like with shoes on. Well, how did Jesus handle it? Firmly, factually, and in private. Man, I hesitate to quote a secular social psychologist at New York University School of Business. But I'll tell you what Jonathan Haidt said. You said, why would you quote him? Because sometimes the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light, and we can learn something from the unrighteous mammon. That's why. Here's what he said. You cannot win the war in social media, you just feed the beast. A university professor said, get out of the Colosseum. You will never convince, you will never defeat one single hater ever in a keyboard ping pong game. Have you ever seen anyone say, that's a good point. I think I believe you now. Now, you want to debate an atheist about the existence of God? Have a ball. It's probably a good platform to do it. But I'll tell you, all you're going to do that grew up in Jesus' house and start a public debate is gender strife and bear our laundry to this world and give them another excuse to go to hell. You don't have to cower. You don't have to hide truth. But when it comes to stuff at the house, Jesus kept it in the house. He didn't cower. He didn't compromise. He told them straight up, little brothers, you're of the world. And you're just trying to get a following by condemning me. Now I'm transferred 2,000 years forward. Start saying the world is doing wrong on your little podcast and see how many people like you then. The world cannot hate you. But me it hateth. Because I testify of it. And frankly, it's easier to get on my case than it is to testify against the world. And you know what he did then? He went on and did what the Father told him to do. I don't think he ever blabbed about this discourse concerning his brothers to the world. Outside of preserving it in the Scriptures. He did say a man's foes will be those of his own household. How did he know? He lived it. He doesn't know what I'm going through? Yes, he does. I don't know what's going on in your home, between siblings, between parents and children. But if I had a guess based on 36 years of experience, there's probably a little of this going on. If it started when there wasn't even any peer pressure with Cain and Abel, and it shows up in a house where Jesus lived, I would guess there might be some of this had gone on, is going on, going to go on. Amen? Do you really want to be like Jesus? How do you handle it? You respond. How do I respond like Jesus? Truthfully, I'm growing up in a house where my brothers don't believe, my sisters don't believe, my children don't believe, my parents don't believe. Truthfully, factually, but in private. Number two, realize that the home is a great place to practice on sinners. To earnestly contend for the faith. Now, some of you are petrified to go out. You might hold a sign, but were someone to come up to you and say, "Why do you do what you do?" You'd be more nervous than a clam in low tide. But that little brother saying it to you, some of you would rip his head off and pour water in his neck. We used to say something different. You think it's going to get easier when you get out in this world? You think it's going to be easier standing, having done all to stand, whether you get in the workplace or the school place? Practice on that worldling in your home. When they say, "You ought to be doing it this way, you're doing it the wrong way, you're worldly." Oh, did I say that? Now, here's why we don't. Because when I point one, there's three looking back at me. Nobody knows you like your siblings. They know us best. So, which brings us to another point. When you start having this going on in the home, let this make you examine your own life. Of course, Jesus didn't have this problem. "Man, I'm going to tell her." Oh yeah, but she's got this on me. Maybe I better clean up my own yard before I start looking in her yard. What did Jesus do? He responded truthfully and factually when those in his home said, "You're doing it the wrong way." He realized, or I'm saying realize, the home is a great place to practice. Let it be a motivation to examine our own lives. Lastly, never give up hope. You saw what it said in John chapter 7, verse 5. Neither did his brethren believe on him. Parents, don't be too hard on yourself. We are not Calvinists. They have a choice to make. And if they choose to make the wrong choice, these guys grew up in a house with Jesus and made the wrong choice. But don't give up hope. Galatians chapter 1. New Testament. Galatians chapter 1, verse 19.
"I found this on the web."
Oh, that bothers me. Did you hear that?
"I found this on the web."
I didn't say S-I-R-I. That means they're listening to every word we say. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
"Here's what I found."
CNN. You on the wrong station, Siri. Galatians 1:19. But, Paul speaking, "But other of thee," say it. saw I none save James, the who? 2:9, Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given to them, they gave to me Barnabas and the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Mark chapter 15. If they're still breathing, there's hope, said Jack Patterson. Mark chapter 15, verse 46. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of who? Joseph. Beheld where he laid. I don't have this in my notes, but it dawned on me. The brothers came around after the cross. Sometimes there has to be a cross before there can be a resurrection. When you've been spoon-fed on a silver spoon all your life, the riches of God and the goodness of God, sometimes there needs to be a cross. Acts chapter 1. Verse 13. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room and abode with both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. So there's a couple Jameses. You got to figure out who that is. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. So there's your women in the prayer meeting. Ladies, see that? Looks like the women are praying right along with the men. I'm just reading the Bible. Now, can you teach or usurp authority? No, it's clear. These all continued one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his... It ain't his cousins now, is it? With his brethren. I think it's him. But I'm reading James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy to speculate, but I just wonder what would have happened if Jesus went publicly with his disdain for his brothers under his own roof. I wonder if in their hardness of hearts it might have shut doors. For 28 years, I watch young people that sit down or hear singing them church bringers come to an age and they say, this is not for me. And I have tried, probably failed at times, but I have tried not to make it a public thing and call names. We've had to do discipline behind the scenes and all that. And some of those are grown and married with children. And in the past few months, I think I've told this a couple times, I've gotten 5 communications with those that would be in that boat. One of them said, "Man, I'd love to be there, but I can't. But I listen to your sermons all the time. I've got more apologies and prayers, and even those that are might still contend with the way we do stuff. I'm praying for you." If they're still breathing, there's hope. When in doubt, temper yourself. Jesus' brothers attacked him. And when they did, he pulled no punches. He said, "The world is going to love you." And then he went out and did what God called him to do. And when it's all said and done, hallelujah, there in the prayer meeting, and I've seen it, not as often as I would like to, but the story isn't over yet. Let's stand. Pray for wisdom. You that sort of stand in the stead, you're the older brother, if you will. I mean, the prodigal son was written long before the prodigal son. It was the life of Jesus Christ. Neither did his brethren believe. But he just went on. He said what had to be said. But he didn't just go blabbing it to everybody, especially publicly. When it's all said and done, they're in the prayer meeting, living for the one they grew up with. Jason, what number?